Hi, I'm James Schellinglaw, and I'm here with P. Jason King, who's the president of P. Jason King Associates, Inc. And if you don't know his company, you should, because he is a executive search firm and matchmaker for travel agencies. He does a lot of mergers and acquisitions work for travel agencies and for the rest of the business. So we wanted to talk with Jason a little bit about the market today, because you know there are no jobs out there, right? I mean, there are jobs. That's the key, but you got to find them. And Jason is a great way to help you find them. And he's at this time, obviously, there's a lot of mergers and acquisition business and the travel agency business today. And we're going to chat about that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, first of all, Jason, how are you and where are you?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me, James. I really appreciate it. I'm in Skyland, North Carolina. I've been quarantined here for 9 months, so I can't even tell you about it because my wife and I just sort of picked up and moved. Long story, which we won't get into, but we're doing well. You know, I growing a beard.
I was gonna say we were talking about that earlier. You missed Christmas, but it looks like you're on the way for next year.
No mustache. The mustache is very light, and the beard is not going in the right direction. But I'm gonna keep trying. And when I go out, by the way, I have a special mask that I think is very apropos. I didn't show it to you before, but I think I should show it to you now. And it covers my, it gives me the beard and the
beard. That's so you beard got
and it's a beard and
it's a little darker too. So that's probably helps you out too. There you go.
Yeah. That's
a very, very handsome beard. Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. No,
that's my goal.
Well, either that or you got some business, you know, going down to the village and being kind of a beatnik poet or something. But that's
well, Asheville is very eclectic, actually.
I know. I've never been, but I'd love to go. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about business, because we could talk all day about your beard. But for those who may not know, let's talk about P. Jason King Associates. What services do you offer to the travel industry?
We have two companies, basically, or two divisions within P. Jason King Associates. One is our global executive search firm, and we handle mainly senior management and C-level executives within all of the United States, as well as 30 countries around the globe. And the other company is a business consulting practice, which today we're very heavily involved in mergers and acquisitions, through a company called and a website called travelmatchmakers.com.
Right.
So those are the two areas that we're really been in for decades, over four decades now.
And you have a friend of mine and a good guy in the industry, Steve Garga, working with you, right?
That's correct. Steve came on pre-COVID, actually. He's executive vice president of P. Jason King Associates, and he's involved in all aspects of our business.
Now let's talk a little bit about what I think everybody out there wants to know about. What does the employment market look like in travel right now? Do you have any idea of how many people or what percentage of the market is out of work now in travel in the U.S., or at least an estimate? How many jobs have been lost?
Yeah, I actually had to do some research on it, because we never talk in numbers when people ask me how many people do you place and things like that. But I actually did a little research on it, and I think it's interesting just on the research. Forbes magazine said 50 million travel industry jobs lost, 50 million. And U.S. Travel Association said 5.9 million, and Skift said 8.2 million. Now, all those numbers are pretty wild, going from the 5.9 to the 50 million.
Right.
When they talk about the travel and hospitality industries, they are encompassing restaurants and bars as well. And then you're taking a lot of people from there. So that's why the numbers sort of are askew. We really know that, you know, there are millions of people that have lost their jobs, not only in the United States, but overseas as well.
Right.
And, you know, and it's rough to think just in numbers. You know, when it hits a person individually, they don't feel part of the majority. They just feel, hey, you know, I've worked so hard all my life, and all of a sudden I'm out of a job, you know.
Right.
What do I do next? And there are things, you know, we can talk about that people can do, you know, as far as getting themselves ready for the change in this pandemic.
Right.
I'm one of those guys who actually thinks that it's not everybody has the new normal. And I personally think we're going to have to live with COVID for quite some time. I don't think it's just going to go away. I think it's going to be controlled better than it is now. And I just read that they're looking at putting into effect anybody that's going to travel must be tested ahead of time. So things will change and for the better, but it's a slow process.
Right.
Very
right
slow
now.
Process.
Now,
now, you know, the marketplace is hurting. You know, we can talk about, you know, about where it's hurting the most and so on. So,
yeah, let's go there. I mean, I guess my first question is obviously with news of vaccines and things like that. Have you seen any blip of things getting better? Are people starting to think about hiring as we, you know, for the period when we emerge from this, at least to a certain extent? You did say we're going to have to live with this for a while, but hopefully everything is going to get better at some point, whether that's mid-year, the end of the year, or something like that. But are we starting to see, as I hate to use this word, the proverbial green shoots of some job recovery in travel from your perspective?
Yeah, it started to emerge. We see a little in the trades that somebody has been hired or promoted or what have you. For the most part, though, you know, we're really in the same situation. The vaccine is fantastic. Don't misunderstand me. And I think it will help tremendously. But a lot of people, of course, are waiting in line. A lot of people that I've spoken to actually are not willing to take the vaccine unless it's more proven. Nobody has ever mentioned any side effects. And, you know, I'm surely interested in that as well. As people age, you want to know more about the side effects than just the cure, so to speak. People are talking about hiring, but we haven't seen a tremendous movement. We're anticipating, I said it in December and November, we're anticipating maybe the end of February that we'll really start seeing some movement. And some companies, what they're doing is they're at least formulating their plans of who to hire and what to hire more than they've ever done before. Because before, you know, you lost or you terminated somebody in product or in res or in sales, and then you knew you were going to refill the same job.
Right.
Today, it's a lot different because today, what the employer has to do is they're now thinking budget, how much money they've lost. So now they're thinking budget for how much they're going to spend. Salaries are going to be impacted greatly in the travel industry, but there's another alternative in there, and their incentives. We've always pushed for incentives in the travel industry, and companies now can utilize those incentives to actually save money, because unless a person achieves whatever that goal is that the company sets for them, reasonable goal, that's when they'll get that incentive. So right now we're seeing companies really making decisions of how many people they want to hire. Right. And they're being very thoughtful in it. Sometimes they're doing a little too much research, in my humble opinion. But the bottom line is, at least they're gearing up for it. I see that you know, some industries are much stronger than others. For example, and everybody seems to ask this question, so I'm sure your audience is going to be interested as well. And that is, you know, where is the hot spot? All right.
Right.
And, or where will it be? And it seems to us from our own research and our clients that are truly around the globe, and especially, of course, in the United States, is that domestic travel is going to be stronger than international travel.
At least initially, yeah.
And the reason for that is multiple. One is, well, thank God we have a new president. I'm not going to talk politics, but thank God anyway. You know, they're going to open borders eventually, but of course you have England just announced they're going back into a lockdown.
Right.
The UK. So the idea is that people are going to want to travel, especially people who always travel. And in order for them to travel, they're looking at borders. So they're saying to themselves, okay, well, where can I travel? Domestically makes the most sense, right? Number one, you know, again, being tested and what have you, but the idea is people want to go back to what they've lost over the last 9 months. And what that is the connection with family. You're going to see more reunions, I guarantee that. You're going to see more family outings. You're going to see much more connection with groups, I believe, because people have been so hurt by not being
seeing
out there.
Other, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I mean, and so the idea is domestic travel. The other part that's going to be, I think, really strong is going to be on the adventure side. And the reason for this, and it makes perfect sense. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or, how my wife says, a rocket surgeon. The bottom line is that people are saying to themselves for the first time, you know, what if? What if I got the, you know, you had the virus. What if I get the virus? You know, my life is going to change forever if I don't get better. So maybe, you know, that one trip that I wanted to take, I want to do it something more adventurous, you know, something that maybe I wouldn't do in a normal set of circumstances. I want to get out there and rock climb or hike or you know, rafting or whatever it is, and do that. And if I can then do it in a group of friends or family, well, you know, that's going to be real important. So I think, and from what we've seen, I think that that's going to be really a strong set, more than anything.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that's for the near term, I think. And then, you know, I think a lot of people, there's a tremendous demand for Europe, to be honest with you, not this year, but maybe towards the end of this year and next year. So maybe there is some hope for recovery. As you mentioned, you know, England and Great Britain, it's in lockdown now. But, you know, I have to be honest with you, the first one of the first places I want to go back to is London.
Sure.
You know, because I love it, and I love traveling in the UK.
Right.
Let's shift over to the other side of the other side of your business, the consolidation, the mergers and acquisitions business. And I know you work a lot with travel agencies. Where do you see that going now? Is there more mergers and acquisitions going on within the travel agency sector, or is this normal? Are we going to see a lot of consolidation?
We've been involved in mergers and acquisitions for over 30 years, and we have never seen the amount of interest and the amount of transactions that we're handling ever before. Honestly, I had to put on people just to handle the onset of how many other people there are coming into it. You know, in the beginning of the pandemic, we saw people, of course, very scared, very nervous, and either going for the SBA loan or the PPP, and thinking that you know will get them back to their normal, okay, their business operation.
Sure.
Then when we saw, of course, that didn't work, other than the fact that now and we've come up with a plan, but now that you owe money, you can't even sell your business unless you make good that money back to the governing bodies, whether it's SBA or PPP. So, but the idea is as the marketplace changed and more deaths occurred and more panic set in, basically companies were saying, you know, can I hold on? What do I do? So what we did, immediately, we launched a website, travelmatchmakers.com. We offered not only a free consultation, but a free evaluation based on COVID, not based on yesterday, but based on today. And we went out and we got buyers immediately. I basically went to every big client I had and said, you're signing an agreement and you're going to buy companies. And we started with, you know, at the 10 million up mark. But today we're handling literally from, I think about the lowest is about $2 million in gross sales up to $100 million plus. And there's buyers out there. And but the best part of this is, you know, you work hard for 40 years. It could be 10, 20, 30, whatever. But I'm saying you work hard for 40 years. Maybe you and your spouse are in the business. Maybe you have children that come into it. Or maybe there's no succession plans. you never thought that this pandemic would be upon us, right?
No.
And we've gone through, the industry's gone through everything from 9/11 and the net fares and the economy and so many other things, but we never anticipated this. At least I didn't anticipate it anyway. And now the people are saying, I can't afford to go on. I can't pay my rent. My landlord is not working with me because he needs his money. I can't pay, taxes. I can't pay my employees. I don't know what to do. So we handled a lot of phone calls, and we basically said, you know, don't worry. There's a plan now that you can still run your business if you want to, or you could retire. You could safeguard your people. You can make a nice bit of change. Okay. Don't walk away and close your doors with nothing.
Right.
Okay. Give us an opportunity. There's no cost to them whatsoever. Yes, if indeed we don't have a buyer's contract, then we go to the seller, but we don't double dip. And unlike some other people, we don't charge anything for a consultation nor an evaluation. Mm-hmm. So we spoke to literally hundreds and hundreds of people within the first couple of months of the pandemic. And everybody was saying to me the same thing, which was kind of strange, but they all said, we're going to wait till the fall.
Right.
And in the fall, everything's going to change. I said, the only thing that's going to change in my world is if, depending on where you live, the leaves may change. I said, there's nothing going to change. I mean, so the fall comes and goes, and people now are being much more realistic. They're still scared. Everybody is scared out there, including myself. Everybody's scared, but there are alternatives. So what we're doing is we're showing the alternatives. And I spoke to a couple of travel attorneys recently to find out if we could come up with an idea for that SBA and PPP scenario, because as it stands now, as I understand it, and I'm a layman as far as that goes, but, you know, nobody can sell their company unless they pay back the monies that they owe, right? Yeah, right? But they don't. If they had those monies, they probably wouldn't need to borrow them in the first place, right? So what we came up with was asking our buyers up front, look, will you assume that debt of the PPP and or the SBA loan and even put the money in escrow if you want to buy this company to allow the company to sell you their company?
Right.
And actually, it works. So we've come up with that scenario to at least get people who wanted to sell the opportunity, even if they've got the SBA or the PPP loan. The other thing is that almost every client that we have that's a buyer is not only willing for the owner to stay on, but wants the owner to stay on, wants the management team to stay on, and wants to ensure that the good agents who've been with the company also stay on, because the new owner wants them to run their own company, even though they're not paying the bills. I mean, the ownership will be the new client, the new buyer, the buyer, but the seller will not lose their identity. They can work as long as they want to before retirement, and they can walk away when they fully walk away, with a nice lump sum. A lot of our clients are paying unbeknownst to the industry, because everybody always says to me, and I always read that it goes the other way, that everybody wants earnouts or payouts and they don't put money down. That's not true. We're actually saying to the buyers that we're talking to, you must commit to putting money down.
Right.
People have to know that you're committed to buying their company. There can be earnouts, okay, but they have to be formalized. We have to come up with a plan to make it so that the seller knows that they're secure and that they're going with the right buyer. Because it just like in my recruitment business, it's matchmaking, right? And that's why we've had travelmatchmakers.com for so long, because we've used it in both companies. The idea is, anybody out there who's on the fence and just unsure, they want to hold on, they're not sure, they want to sell, they don't know how much they can get, they should reach out to people like myself or others and just get an idea of what's really going on and what their business is worth before they close their doors and walk away with nothing.
Yeah, well, actually, you brought up a point, though. You want the buyers to put money down for the repay the SBA and maybe the PPP, although ideally that will be forgiven if they have done their paperwork right.
Right.
So you're talking about something more than that, not just repaying the debt that
yes.
they owe, but putting an additional money down to show that, you know, going forward, we want this to work.
Absolutely. And you know, it sounded hard initially. Because let's face it, the buyers are also under certain constraints. But the idea is they're willing to do this. They're looking for, you know, the right culture, the right business mix, whether it's corporate or leisure or groups or incentive or whatever it is. They're looking for the right environment that they can purchase but work with the current owners, you know, for a period of time. It could be a year. It could be 5 years. Depends on, you know, the owner's desire to stay in the business or not. Some are young enough that they're going to stay in the business. They want to be in the business for another right. 10, 15 years or longer. Others are looking to retire maybe in 1-2 years. But at least if they retire, they're going to be walking away with, you know, maybe $1 million or more in their pocket.
Right.
So, you know, it's there are those alternatives. And that's what we're trying to do. And you know, we want people just to be educated. Whether ultimately they decide to use our service or somebody else's, that's up to them. But the bottom line is get educated. And since we're offering it for free, you might as well take advantage, you know. But I'm just saying is just don't close your door and walk away. There are alternatives out there. And
yeah.
another one, James, I just want to throw in is that we actually have people who are looking to put money into a company, in other words, a funding capability, that want to work in the business. So here's a guy who's, let's say, maybe a senior executive or mid-range, and he's saved a bunch of money, and he's looking for another job. He's out of a job. But instead of him just looking for a job, he's willing to put money into the company to get an equity position mm-hmm. so that he safeguards himself should a thing like this happen. And so he becomes an owner, part owner. We don't know the percentage. They range from anywhere from 10% to 50% or even higher. But he or she is putting in good money. I'm talking about, you know, it can go as low as $50,000. And we've seen it go as high as over $1 million. And they become like an angel investor, but they want the job in the company. So,
right.
you know, a good owner is going to hire somebody, if they can afford it, who can bring to the table something that they don't have.
Right.
So if you can bring somebody in who's like a great marketing guy and give him a piece of your business, voila. I mean, it's another spin on employment and mergers and acquisitions sort of coming together. You know,
and you're seeing this with travel agencies, right?
I'm talking specifically travel agencies. Yeah,
okay.
You know, we've seen it with tour operators as well, but the bulk is travel agencies, and some of the travel agencies never even thought that this could be an alternative. We're trying to just come up with as many alternatives as possible, and then let them choose. You know, we have an application form. It doesn't commit to a contract. They just fill out the application. It goes into our computer system. Our computer system matches. It's a proprietary system that I created many years ago. And it matches the criteria of the seller with the criteria of the buyer.
Right.
Right. And then we vet the buyers and the sellers to make sure culture is there and what their goals are and ambitions and where they want to be. This is not like a slam dunk, you know, just matching and then goodbye. It
yeah,
doesn't work
yeah.
that way.
Yeah.
So Steve and I have been really, really active in this every day. And we're handling probably an average 20 to 30 business transactions a week, which is really a lot. I mean, never anticipated that we would be that busy in the mergers and acquisition business.
No,
and I should tell you that the mergers will continue with the big companies. they're talking now, and we're going to see more mergers on that side. But the acquisition side is really at the front, where companies are buying companies, much more than what we'll call the merger. A lot of people don't even use the term merger correctly. You know, they want to think that they're merging, but they're really...
Yeah, well, we as journalists see that all the time, where they call it a merger and you know who's buying whom. So it's...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
on the small side, it's different, you know?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the individuals out there. You know, those that are getting laid off or furloughed, and I'm talking actually mostly sort of in the travel supplier as opposed to the travel agency business. And, you know, should these people be looking to launch their own businesses, or even if they are with a travel supplier, eventually become maybe independent travel advisors, independent contractors for a host agency? I've seen a little bit of that happening, where you have people who have been, you know, pretty high up in the in marketing and sales positions, and they've lost their job at a travel supplier, and they said, well, maybe I should sell travel, and that's how I'll emerge from this.
Yeah, there is a lot of noise out there in the marketplace of startups, not just travel agency environments, but you know, across the board. Many, you know, we always say, if you're unemployed, open a consulting firm, because you want to look active even if you're not active. But the bottom line is, today a lot of people are joining forces, and they're getting together, bringing their talents, and actually creating a new company. It's a strange time for startups to be starting up,
right,
based on the pandemic. But on the other side of it, it could be a really good time and an exciting time, because you're almost starting from scratch. You know, right. you can build your profit centers. You can build who you want to target as your clients. You can make new deals with suppliers, because suppliers are also hurting, and they're looking for, you know, new revenue streams. Sure. And so, you know, like, we have revenue sharing streams all over the place. I mean, companies are doing that as well. Individuals are doing it. And then what we're doing, which is kind of funny too, is we're taking one guy who, let's say, and when I use the word guy, I mean male or female, by the way, and there's more females in our industry than males, but in travel agencies, as far as our concern. The person who is in a quandary of, you know, should I open my own, but I only have X amount of dollars, there's another guy or gal over here that has the same scenario. And if they're both talking to us, we introduce them. And right. Now all of a sudden you've got one or two, three, four, even five who are now getting together and saying, you know, we can have much more muscle out there in the marketplace, even by other companies, if we put our resources together, both financial as well as our expertise. So that's something else that's really never happened. We have companies doing, we have, for example, a listing right now of a major consortia who's looking to buy other consortias.
Right.
And consortias are all hurting, whether they tell you they're doing wonderful or not. And we've talked to all of them. Or most of them, I should say. You know, everybody's hurting. And that comes back to your question, which I don't want to forget, about the independent contractor.
Right.
So the independent contractor has always been out there, as we both know. There are, in our world, there are two different independent contractors. This in the travel agency area. One is the person that has business. It has a following, you know, has built a book of business, as it's called in our industry. And then right. There's the other independent contractor who, you know, would love to get in the travel business, thinks that they can, you know, call their friends and maybe some family members, and maybe, you know, go on some fam trips. Okay. So there are two different ICs. Everybody, every travel agency that we know of and that we've worked with for, you know, 8 years, wants the independent independent contractor with a book of business. There is nobody out there that will not want a book of business.
Sure.
From an IC. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, it's not that easy for an independent contractor to physically move from agency A to agency B, because we know when they move, they're going to lose approximately 10% of their business. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's like a guarantee statistic. Okay, the independent contractor who has the book of business is looking for something more than they have now. Now, I'm not talking pandemic now. I'll jump into that in a second. But
okay,
just generically, the independent contractor who has a book of business wants something different than they're getting now. So what we try to do from a recruitment standpoint is talk to them and find out what they're looking for, right? Give us a laundry list. Let's create a menu of what's going to turn you on. And what they want is all the same. They all want the same thing, which is kind of ironic. They want an assistant or a secretary.
Right.
You know, they want a private office that is luxurious. They want the most up-to-date automation, GDS, and everything else that's available. They want an expense account. All of a sudden, they're working for themselves. No, they want an expense account. They want to have vacations, so they want at least two or three people, depending on the size of their book of business, to be backup agents for them.
Right.
Right? And they want it to be in a location that they want it to be in. I mean, you know, demographic-wise, they don't want to move across the U.S. or what have you. So when you take the menu of what they're looking for and then have all these agencies who are looking to bring independent contractors on board with a book of business, and you go down the menu, the owner starts saying, no, I can't give them that. I can't give her that. I can't do this. I can't do that. doesn't make sense, right?
Right.
So you find out that now there are a lot of book of business people out there, independent contractors, who are undecided where the next step is.
Right.
So a lot of them are going in their own business. Okay, now, you know, today you can be virtual and run your business. It's not like 10 years ago, the word virtual or a home office was totally different. Mm-hmm. So today they're going into their own business, calling it a travel agency, you know. They virtually don't need even a GDS. I mean, they can do online booking. They can do whatever they need. And they're keeping, you know, the benefits to themselves. But the other scenario is, are they affiliated with a consortia or a host agency or something else, right? Because they want those overrides, et cetera. And if they have enough book of business, they'll get that. But it's weird, okay? The other side is that everybody that I know of almost is opening a host agency nowadays. Mm-hmm. This is something new. It's not new to the industry, but it's something new that you see now. You know, there used to be one or two host agencies, and now there's dozens of them.
Well, almost everybody's a host in some regard.
Exactly. I mean, because they get a benefit, right? So everybody is calling us for independent contractors. Bottom line on the independent contractors are that they look good on paper, and some of them are terrific and have a great book of business, and it's surely worth making a deal with them. The bulk of them really don't have any business, and travel agencies need to be cognizant of the fact that just like you check references on an employee on a salary, you got to check references for an independent contractor,
right?
Because you don't want to bring people on that really don't have the business, right?
No, absolutely.
They can hurt, you know, or take away some of your own business. The travel agency today, who is mainly leisure, there are so many opportunities to grow their business, and the agencies that are mainly corporate, opportunities to grow their business. So Steve and I actually came up with a COVID crisis plan to retrain people to get into their new business, what the new business will look like, even if they've been in business for 40 years. I mean, they have to make changes, right? And some of the areas, like we do neighborhood marketing. I do it myself, actually. Mm-hmm. Neighborhood marketing. I mean, there are such little things like changing a window for at least four seasons. Mm-hmm. You know how many travel agencies don't do that? I mean, it's unbelievable. And if they're a storefront, they have walking traffic.
Yeah.
So if you have traffic, you need to change your window. You need to wash it once in a while. You know, you need to have coffee and tea in the winter, and you have to have, you know, lemonade and iced tea in the summertime.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, years ago, I passed an agency in the Bronx and run by actually a pretty important player within ASTA. And I said, you know, you have these faded Amtrak posters in the window in this agency in the Bronx. And then I was talking about it with his wife, who actually ran the business. And I still remember her response in classic Bronxese, you know, they're not faded. You know, right. It's like, but yeah, you're right. Nobody changes their windows, which is
so. I mean, you know, the other things that we give people ideas. For example, you know, create a flyer, and if you're in a building environment, literally let everybody know that you're a travel agency. I can't tell you how many travel agencies that are physically in an office building that don't know any of their neighbors. They don't know who's above them or below them, and it could be a big building. I mean, you could be looking at, you know, picking up, depending on the size of the building, 20, 30 new clients. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But again, during COVID, of course, we have to do things differently.
Yeah.
But with social media availabilities, there are just so much things that you can reach out to. The small travel agency's biggest problem is time. And it's interesting in this era of COVID, you know, a lot of us are self-quarantined. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have too much time on our hands, and yet we never find the time to do what we should be doing, right? I mean, talk about an oxymoron. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. So what they need to do is they need to come up with what we call a plan. We don't make it fancy. We just say a plan. Let us work out a plan for you, okay, that you can then handle yourself. You don't have to keep paying a consultant. Consultants can be the best or the worst. That you can handle, something that you can afford, your budget, right? And that will bring you more business. In today's COVID, I'm not talking about yesterday, I'm talking today, right? When we're doing evaluations, we are doing it based on 2019, okay, 2019. Because there was no 2020, I mean, as far as most companies. I know some companies that actually made more money in 2020 than in 2019, but very few.
Right.
So we're using 2019 as the criteria in coming up with price points. Our clients, by the way, are paying anywhere from multiples of three to seven of net, which is tremendous. I mean, you know, pre-COVID, could be 14, but 3 to 7 multiples are terrific. We'll explain that in English to the agency owner, that how much more money they can get. But the idea is between the plan, bringing on people, independent contractors, you know, marketing, whether it's buy or sell, there are many, many opportunities out there for people. And they haven't had them before all at one time, and that's what's creating sort of the angst to people and making it even more scary, because they don't know which way to go first. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, that's the issue. You know, in fact, you're answering what was going to be my next question, which is, you know, how should individuals either left the industry or due to the pandemic, or they're still in the industry, be strategizing their careers and get back into travel or maybe find something else. I mean, that's...
Well, you know, we hope that they're not going to leave the travel industry, first of all, okay? There will be people who do that. We saw that, you know, after 9/11, actually, you know, we would get on an average of 18,000 new people who would sign up on our online application. 18,000 a month went down to like 4,000 because a lot of people left their jobs and went out of travel, but that was more overseas than here in the U.S.
Got it.
In the U.S. today, okay, this is what people need to do, okay? Need to gear up and be ready for the onslaught. There will be an onslaught where many, many companies will look to hire at one time, okay, which is pretty scary, but they need to be prepared. The number one thing that an individual needs is a video presence, okay? Because all interviews are going to be done on video. Right. So whether it's Zoom or GoToMeeting or Skype or what have you. And there are certain things that you must do. For example, your background is very nice. It looks like a living room environment. Mine has office plaques and what have you. But both of us, you and I, are both doing something that we both shouldn't be doing. Okay? And that's, we're not looking at the camera.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you right now, okay? Like now I'm looking at the camera, but I'm not looking at your face, which is very hard to do. People need to really train themselves to be able to look at the camera so that the interviewer sees their full face and their eyes. The biggest thing is the eyes, because that's sort of reaching into the soul, okay?
No,
if you wear
right.
glasses, if we wear glasses, we can hide a little bit, you know, there we go. But the idea is, so you need to have a backdrop. You can't have a blank wall. You need to be so many inches from your screen. And you need to be coiffed. And when I say coiffed, I mean the style for men and women today is not you and I, but other people, is not to comb their hair, okay? That's the in thing, or to grow a beard, not like mine, but to grow a beard or mustache for the men. The idea is the person who's interviewing you wants to see you at your best.
No, that's true.
I don't care if they're casual Fridays, Monday through Friday, but if you're going for a job, you need to really look at your best, okay? And it depends if you're looking for a corporate job or a leisure job, there are different rules, okay? Maybe we can get into these. Maybe you can do a clinic with me or something. Maybe we can do this regularly.
I mean, that would be interesting, yeah, because it is tough. I mean, look, I've been doing this for a long time, and you're right. I don't always look at the camera, but sometimes that's tough because I want to look at you because this is looking at you.
I agree.
Down here is looking at me, and that's kind of where it looks like.
It's difficult. It's a difficult thing. So you got to train yourself and practice, especially if you're looking for a job. The other thing is a resume. 99% of all resumes are bad. 99%. I mean, you know, the problem with resumes is if you go to a resume writer, or you go through an outplacement firm, or you go on the internet, and there are millions of ideas, all of them have no idea about getting a job through a resume. They're just giving you, you know, you can use core competencies, you can use different colors, you can use a lot of lines and bullets. We want everything simplified. We actually have resume samples. And again, that could be a clinic as well. But the idea is, you know, everybody wants to go back to green. Everybody's coming home again. Everybody's being more realistic, okay? So, you know, you want to get rid of the bullets. You want to get rid of the lines. You don't want to have your picture up there ever. You want to have no bullets. You don't want to have highlights, accomplishments. No, you want to talk about your responsibilities. And if you talk about your responsibilities, at least the person reading it has to read the paragraph, understand what you do. Because right. if you have your key competency or core competency as marketing, and they're not looking for a marketing person, they're not going to read it. It's going to go in that 86 file down on the floor sure. there, right? So the idea is there are certain techniques. So you have to get your resume done. You have to know video, all right? The other thing is, and I'm not trying to publicize LinkedIn, but, you know, LinkedIn is about the only business environment, although in the last few years, it's going more Facebook-y, and
yeah.
which I don't like. But the idea is LinkedIn presents, you know, a picture, which is very important. And the people who don't have pictures, I don't contact. I'm a headhunter, so contact. If they don't have a picture, I don't contact, because that means they either think they're too old, they don't like their looks, they don't take a good picture, and, you know, they're hiding something, right?
Sure.
So I want a picture up there. I also want a picture depending on what your target audience is. So if you're leisure, you know, you can surely wear an open neck, right? But if you're going to work for a Fortune 500, I want to see it high. I actually want to see it in the picture, right? If you're, you know, working for a safari company, then wear a safari jacket. Right? In other words, that picture, don't put your dog in there. Don't put your picture upside down. sideways. Don't have your boyfriend or your girlfriend hanging on. I mean, come on. This is supposed to be a business site, right? When you do your resume, that resume then should go on to LinkedIn, not what you have now on LinkedIn, which everybody uses the wrong thing. Yeah. That little thing open to work that now people are doing on their picture, get rid of it. Everybody knows you're open to work. Get rid of it. It doesn't look good, you know? So the idea is when I'm talking to candidates, when I'm talking about candidates that could be, you know, anywhere from, I don't know, 175,000 to 500,000, I tell them the same thing. Your picture stinks. Get rid of it. Do something better. Doesn't have to be professionally done, but you need a good picture. And then the background, you know, there's a background behind the picture, right? And most of them leave it blank. And I said, you have so many recourses. You're in the travel industry. Pick a favorite destination.
Sure. Some posters up behind, some photos and everything else.
World with a suitcase. I mean, put something in there that says that you cared enough about your bio to have it reflect something about you behind your picture. Mm-hmm. These little techniques are, you know, they're so easy to handle. You don't need a professional. I surely am not a social media buff, but I pick up clients all the time from LinkedIn. You need to do that. That has to be part of your package. Then you need to sharpen your interview skills. The only way you can do that is with a friend, family member, you know. I mean, I always say to somebody, find somebody that you love, who's going to tell you the truth, have them read your resume, and then have them tell you what you do for a living.
Right.
And if they start repeating that you're responsible for sales and marketing and bringing in new leisure groups, then they don't know what you do. That means the new person reading it doesn't know what you do.
Right.
So you need to interview. If you're alone and you have nobody to do it, you know, you can join Zoom or whatever and Zoom yourself just to see how you're looking, right? And talk it out. You know, it's sort of that 5-minute elevator pitch. You've got to know exactly what to say. And there are hints, and again, this is clinicky, but there are hints for, you know, turning a weakness into a strength. We can go into those things, and also what never to say and what you always need to say, and no gaps. You know, if you were in jail and there's a gap in your resume, you need to come clean. It's going to come out in any kind of a reference check anyway. So, you know, there are all these little things. Once you're prepared, okay, then when those jobs come, you don't have to start hustling. Oh, I got to get this. I got to get that. Right. Yeah. And what's happening is, the realization of the people out there that we're talking to is they didn't realize that they had to get prepared.
Yeah.
They thought that, well, you know, they're just going to want me and everybody knows, you know, who I am, how great I am. And, not, you know, not true. So yeah. I would say that the people who are looking to get back in really take this time, find the time, number one, and get yourself prepared so that you're ready for that job opportunity, which is going to come be out there, you know?
Absolutely. Well, Jason, I want to thank you for taking a lot of your time. And it sounds like we got to have another couple of clinics and interviews for people looking for work and where the jobs are. Is there anything else you want to let our audience know about? And most of them are travel advisors. We have some suppliers out there as well about the travel jobs market today. And you know, for those who both are employed and are finding themselves currently unemployed.
Right. Well, the last thing I would just say, if you're non-management and you're looking for a job, please visit yoursintravel.com. There's two applications, a short and a long one. You don't need to fill out both, just one or the other. And if you're in management from, you know, senior management or senior level, C-level, go to P. Jason King Associates. .com and click on executive registry, follow the directions there. We don't take resumes by email. They have to fill out an application. And our applications are redundant on purpose. I tell you that up front. We want people to commit to filling out an application correctly, putting in destination knowledge and everything that's that makes them who they are. They will be contacted within 48 hours of receipt We reach out very, very quickly. I appreciate, James, the opportunity to speak to your audience and have an audience with you personally. And I'd love to get involved in maybe some clinics down the road.
We'll talk about that. Maybe we have some other interviews we can do. And, of course, you have your Travel Matchmakers, too. .com is still there, which is for your travel agencies both looking and wanting to sell, wanting to buy and wanting to sell.
And those travel people just wanting to look, go to travelmatchmakers.com. There are listings, there's information about how we operate, and an email address is contact information as well.
Right. Well, Jason, again, thank you so much. We'll be talking, I'm sure, about this, and we'll see if we can do some others to really drill down into some of these areas to help people as we emerge from the crisis and the jobs market picks up, whether that's later this year or even into next year. Again, thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.